Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is Raw. For those of you who are not Rawyers, that's our tribe.
We get real, we get raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Our thing is like no filter ever, unless it's Snapchat.
We're one take whores.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about the one take with the podcast. Boy, that'd be really interesting.
I love that. Listen, it's one take always, yeah, baby. One take always.
It is. You always know. You never know what you're going to get, but you can always trust that what you get is going to be real.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. We're done. Drop the mic.
So I think that
you when we introduce. Talk about...
Oh, I got it. Oh, it's me. Oh, my gosh. Shit. Hi, I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen. Anissa's having a moment.
I am.
And this is Anissa and Ellen Raw.
Yes. And I am. I blame it on the sound healing today. I'm a little bit loopy.
She did. She did some sound healing and had it right here before we started. She had to close her eyes and
take a moment.
Take a center moment. Mm-hmm. So what were you going to say?
I don't know. We'll just start chatting. I know.
So today's episode is about toxic. I'm going to use the word toxic, about toxic people that you have in your life. And this whole trend that people are.
It's like a culture.
Yeah. It's like this whole culture that's out now about getting rid of toxic people in your life that aren't feeding your soul, that don't support and encourage you. And I'm going to be completely transparent in saying that we've had in the last little bit of time some people that we know that have been posting a lot about that. Mm-hmm. And the issue that we're having is that these people don't realize that they are... not toxic. They're not toxic, but they are the problem. Okay. I'm just going to say it, that they are the problem. So they're posting all of this stuff. I don't get rid of the people who don't support and encourage you, who don't help you with your dream, who don't, you know, who, and that's fine. I mean, However, you've
kind of cornered yourself away from the people who actually were doing that for you. And it makes me so sad because you become so, I think that there's this idea that in order for someone to be in your corner, that they must absolutely agree with everything that happens in your corner. Right. And that's just not true, because just like we were talking about with Christina, that if people just applaud your bullshit all the time, you're never going to be challenged to be better. And I feel like it always has to come down to this us versus them. And it's really not that. There's not just a black and white about supporting the people in your life, that there are times where there's an ebb and flow, and there are times where you go in different directions,
right.
And that has to be okay. It doesn't mean that something is necessarily, well, let's first of all talk about what's toxic.
Yes.
Okay. Because I think we use this word.
It's such a strong, powerful word.
Oh, it's toxic. There are some toxic situations.
Yes, I agree.
We had someone on the podcast who was definitely living in a toxic situation. Mm-hmm. So I don't think your girlfriend, who maybe isn't wanting to meet you at the gym anymore, is on the same level of not having your back and being toxic as someone who's living in a domestic violence situation.
Exactly.
That's toxic,
yeah.
Right? If you have parents in your home that are doing drugs and you are a child, that's toxic, right?
It's not, you know, somebody who just doesn't want to go along with everything that you want them to.
Or has their own life for a moment, or just whatever. So I think that we throw this word around toxic all the time now. And, I think it takes away from when something, you know, then you're numb to it. Then when something really is toxic and you need to talk to somebody about leaving a toxic relationship or getting out of a toxic home environment and everybody else is saying toxic, it just blurs the waters, I think.
Well, and I'm all about if I don't keep people around in my life. And when I say that, I don't keep people. That sounds terrible. I just don't tend to hang around folks that I meet in my life that are just so negative, that they just don't. I feel like the people that are in your life should lift you up, should give you something. Like, you don't just have friends just because, you know, you just want to hang around and play Xbox all the time. I mean, I'm sure there are people like that, but I like people who move me, like who stimulate me, who make my life better, who make me a better person. And sometimes they don't agree with me, and sometimes they don't like my bullshit, and I depend on them to tell me that. Just because they don't like my bullshit doesn't mean I'm not going to be friends with them anymore. And it's just too easy to dismiss people who, especially if you are having issues of your own, and 9 times out of 10, it's because you're having issues of your own. That's why you don't want that person to call out your bullshit. Mm-hmm. You don't want that person to remind you that you've got to make changes within yourself. So Anissa said something to me a long time ago that I think about a lot. She said, we were talking about friendship, and she said, so I have very few true friends, meaning friends that I can talk to comfortably, that even if we don't see each other. Brian is one of my true friends. I don't see Brian as much as I used to. We don't talk all the time, but when I do see Brian, our engineer, it's as if it's as if we just saw each other mm-hmm. the other day. I'm very comfortable with Brian telling him anything and everything. The same with Anissa. I don't have very many of those people, but I have a humongous amount of acquaintances, and I'm very sincere in when I tell those people, I love you and I care for you, because I do care for them and I do love them, but I have just a handful, maybe 2 handfuls of people that I can reach out to vent, or that I'm comfortable, you know, showing all my warts, or that I can truly talk to. And it's not because I don't want more than that. That's just how it's happened to be. So Anissa said, true friends know about you and your life. They know your children's names and how many children you have. And you know, they don't have to know exactly where you were born, but like your immediate environment, the things that you do, that you love. I mean, why would you call somebody a friend and not know how many fucking children she had? Like,
there's a reciprocity in friendship. And I feel that when you have someone who is claiming a lot of toxicity, I've gotten rid of this person and I've gotten rid of that person and I'm shedding this and I'm shedding that and this is holding me back. What's holding you together?
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of pain going on, mm-hmm. something. And for me, I think it stems from not having a grounded sense of self.
I agree.
And without having that grounded sense of self, it doesn't mean you have to have that shit all figured out.
No.
But when you have a grounded sense of self, you don't rely on the people around you, the externals around you, to fill you up. You don't rely on the people around you or the circumstances around you to define who you are, because you know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so those people are free to be themselves and add to your life, but not lift you up. There's a difference. I don't rely on Ellen to mm-hmm. lift me up. I rely on Ellen to honor who I am and love me as I am and allow me to give her mm-hmm. the same thing.
But And here's the thing. If Anissa and I, there's a quote, and I can't off the top of my head remember, but if Anissa did something to me that hurt me or angered me or disappointed me, I'm not going to go to Brian and tell Brian that Anissa did this to me if I didn't already go to Anissa and say, Anissa, you did this to me and it hurt me and I just want you to know. And then we talk about it and, you know, maybe she did it on purpose, or maybe whatever her excuse is didn't set well with me. But at least I went to her and I said, I have this problem with you. To tell people that, to say I got rid of somebody out of my life because she was toxic and not fucking give that person a chance and you claim that you're friends, to not give that person a chance to talk it out, to make it right if she needs or wants to or whatever, is just complete bullshit. Then you know what? It was never there.
It was never a friendship to begin with. And I think that there's so much fear behind not opening up to having the conversation. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that comes back to not having a good sense of self, to being able to be comfortable enough to say to someone, this hurt me, right? There's vulnerability there. And I also, this is another thing about the culture of claiming everyone's toxic to leave your life. I think there is some insecurity underneath pointing all of those fingers to the bad people who don't get you, or the mm-hmm. people who aren't doing this for you, or whatever the case may be. There's a huge chunk of insecurity, I think, in that, because you're not able to be vulnerable and say, you know what? I need this. Can you mm-hmm. please? It would be great if you could do XYZ for me, or I'm feeling really afraid about this, or I feel like I've been abandoned, that you haven't right. honored some commitment to me, and I really want to talk about it. Being able to be in that vulnerable space is what makes room for healing to occur and to grow the relationship.
I agree.
So I want to actually claim something. So, because I think that it's fair, and it was something when I was talking to you about wanting to have this. Now, I didn't use the term toxic, but you know, I've shared on the first podcast that I'm on my third marriage, and mm-hmm. I can honestly tell you that there are times where I put a wall up and I decided that it was all about that spouse, right? All mm-hmm. about that. And now that I have a little more clarity, and a little more humility, truly it's humility.
It is humility.
I can see how many times I was so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times I should have instead humbled myself and been vulnerable enough to say to my spouse, I'm hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I could use this from you.
Mm-hmm.
But I was too afraid that if I said that I wouldn't get what I was asking for.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I think. And so my reaction instead was to decide, well, that's all bullshit. Right. And I don't need that. And I'm going
to
do.
And you can't give it to right. me anyway.
And
so.
Right. And here's the unfortunate thing is that, you know, in those moments, I put my children through mm-hmm. that. Right. Now, I won't go into all of my stories because, you know, my kids do listen. But I do have some issues where things were toxic, and those were different circumstances. But I can honestly say that I am not just pointing fingers at people out there who are claiming the toxic bandwagon as an excuse to not be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it comes down to, not owning that authentic vulnerability and really opening up to allow that relationship to be transformed into something else, possibly something better, or possibly you both have just grown in different directions and you can honor that and say, I wish you well. And you can walk away and say, I wish you well, right? Mm-hmm. And really mean it. And then, because guess what? Here's the other thing. If you are posting on Instagram about getting rid of all the toxic people, mm-hmm. that you are holding them so tight in your grasp that you're not getting rid mm-hmm. of anything.
You're not.
You are the toxic person who is walking around holding on to those negative feelings instead okay. of allowing them to be open and released and honored so that you can move on and grow.
I mean, one of the main things about being authentic and being real and raw is to have those conversations with yourself, not with other people, like with yourself
mm-hmm.
to figure out what it is with it. So my mom, my mother, who's from the Philippines, and she's a pretty wise little petite woman. She used to tell me, you don't need people. You don't need things. You don't need people to make you happy. You don't need anybody. I mean, I think the only people that need somebody are children,
mm-hmm.
when they're young, obviously, to take care of them. But as you grow into an adult, you know, when you have these relationships with folks, you see in the movies these big dramatic moments where, you know, I need you.
You complete me.
You complete me. You don't need other people. You have to find it within yourself. You want other people in your life because obviously, you know, you want people to witness your life and you want people to share that with the experiences, but you shouldn't need somebody so much that you cannot live without this person,
mm-hmm.
because you've got to have that within yourself. You've got to be strong enough within yourself that if this person were not here anymore, you could, I mean, obviously spouses who pass away or who leave, I mean, it's an emotional journey. You're mm-hmm. going to, you know, you've had those connections and that I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these people who, you know, these codependent people and, or folks who just don't see within themselves, don't have the strength within themselves. So it's so easy to push it out on other folks. It's so easy to say, well, I don't have her in my life anymore because she was not giving me, you know, when in fact it was not there to begin with. And you've got to find that within yourself. You can't rely on somebody else. You rely on people to give you support and encouragement and to love you and to help you through whatever it is that you know, you're going through, but to dismiss people. I mean, so easy to dismiss people nowadays, you know, true friends, like true people who truly care about you just because you're not seeing what it is that you want to see.
And I'm telling you what, Ellen and I are great friends. I don't mean great friends that we're great friends. I mean, we're great friends to have.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to own that because
we are.
We will take the time to get to know you. Mm-hmm. And we'll take the time to, that doesn't mean we have all of the time in the world,
no.
Right? We're busy. Heck, we don't talk to each other. But we're great friends. Like, we'll give you the space to be who you are and love you anyways. And we'll call you out on some of your bullshit too. So it just makes me so sad. And I know that everybody is where they're supposed to be. And so for whatever reason, people have their journey and they have to do that.
It's very,
and the door is always open.
You said it. In earlier, when one of our early podcasts, maybe the first one, we were talking about our friendship, how, you know, when you're young, it's so easy to make friends and you have, you know, everybody's got friends. I mean, my nieces, you know, they have like 10 BFFs and, you know, like one day mm-hmm. this BFF and then the next day the BFF is gone and I make the new person. But when you're at our age, unless you're that person who's had friends from when you were in high school or...
Right, you live in the same town or whatever.
Yeah, you've kept connected. You've stayed connected, which I have not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a friend that I went to high school with that I'm friends with on Instagram and Facebook. We don't see each other, but we do follow each other and communicate that way. But other than my family, my sisters, I don't have anybody. So it can be difficult. So to find friends... it can be a hard thing, like true friends. So you've got to open up yourself and cherish those moments and invite that person. So here's the thing. I have two Instagram accounts.
You do.
And Anissa's laughing at me. I have my personal Instagram account that I've had for years. Like when Instagram came up, I went on there. I did it because of my family, my nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think one of my nieces showed me how to do it. And so it's an awesome way to keep up with them. It's private so that I can post anything on there, especially my nieces and nephews when they were young, my goddaughters when they're young, that I don't want necessarily to put out in public because, you know, their parents may not want it. So it's a really good way to keep in communication, show everybody each other what we're doing without having to constantly call. So then I have my public, which is my fitness. I rarely post personal stuff on there. But I remember when I said, Anissa, I'd like for you to follow my personal Instagram page.
Yeah. I was like, you have a personal.
I know. So, you know, and people can say, so what?
My That's personal Instagram, in.
I invited her in, and my mm-hmm. personal Instagram page is extremely private. Anissa can tell you, it's just all personal stuff. It's my family. It's the kids. It's, you know, just
but that's
crazy stuff.
But here's the thing. That's a vulnerable space for
it
you.
It is very vulnerable.
And so it truly was inviting me in mm-hmm. to the inner circle of Ellen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I take that seriously.
Marita is on there too. Yeah.
And now and everybody's so going to be see. Like at the gym, girl, why am I not...
And it's a huge, there's a huge difference between the two pages.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you follow me on Instagram and Facebook, I'm very adamant about not putting a whole lot of personal stuff on there. Not because I don't want to share it, but because I have folks in within my family. I have a sister who does not want to be out there. She does yeah. not want to, but she's in my personal Instagram. She doesn't. I've the mother of my, you know, godchildren. Right. I don't want to put them. They're young. I don't want to put them out there. I mean, I've posted a few things,
right?
But it's, you know, it's my choice to do that. But so you have to invite people into your life. If you want true friends, you have to invite them, and you have to take the good, the bad, and the ugly. So
and you have to invest in them as well.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. So. You can sit there all day long and post on your social media that you got rid of the people out of your life that weren't supporting you and weren't, you know, giving you what you need and did not want to build you up. But were you supporting them? Were you building them up? Were you reciprocating? Are you needy, need, 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 or did you give just as much, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the question, you know, do you reciprocate? Do you give? And you don't give things and you don't do things because you're waiting for somebody to right. give them in return. It should just be instinctual. It should be you. It should be who you are and your friendship and the way you are together.
A therapist that I saw when I was living in California, and we were talking about relationships, and he said that his questions about my relationship at the time to me were like, I can remember having a very puzzled look on my face because I couldn't understand why he was asking, because they weren't the typical questions. Mm-hmm. And he said that a viable relationship is one in which the give and take happens on its own.
For sure.
So there is not the, well, he takes the trash out and cuts the grass and I do the dishes and the laundry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if one spouse loses a job, the other one takes up without being asked.
Mm-hmm.
Or if something happens, a death in the other person's family, that the other spouse automatically, that there is just this natural,
mm-hmm.
natural thing that occurs when the relationship is viable. And I think your true friends, you can feel that.
Right. I agree. And, you know, not everybody is going to be, I mean, you don't.
You don't need everybody to be that gummy in your life, or you'd be like, ugh, get out. You have to have acquaintances too.
Yeah. I think it's just the nature of, you know, the connection, you know, I'll call it an attraction. I mean, you normally say attraction in terms of like male and female.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a little bit of a sexual undertone to it, but attraction, it's the things about somebody that attracts you to that person that you connect with. So not everybody, you're not going to have a connection with that. The whole point of this podcast is that we just feel like it's way too easy to just dump people out of your life and say these people are toxic and talk about them behind their backs to other people. And if you don't, there's a whole thing in the corporate world, in any job. Anissa's my boss and I'm having a problem with Anissa, I'm not going to go to HR. If I do go to HR, they're going to say, did you talk to Anissa? because until you talk to Anissa, we're not going to do anything about it. So unless you come to me first and talk to me about it and figure something else, figure it out, or if I'm a bitch to you, then go ahead and talk about me behind my back if you want. But if you don't address it with me first, then don't, then fucking keep your mouth shut. Like, I'm serious.
Yep.
It just drives me crazy.
Especially when the other person even reaches out to say, hey, I think something's up. Can we clear the air?
Yes. And then you completely shut them down with bullshit.
Right.
Because then you can't talk about it.
Right.
You know, I mean,
because you might clear the air then. Uh-oh.
Yes. Or you know what? You might find out that you're fucking wrong. You were wrong the whole time.
Right.
So what?
And even then, so what? You also might find that you could still have the friendship.
Right.
Right. Because I'm not really, I'm not a grudgy person, or I don't think I am. I don't know.
Or maybe you don't want to be friends with that person anymore, right. But at least you talked about it.
With the person who was involved instead of every other person.
The quote that I can't remember exactly says something like, it makes me so sad that you just walked out of my life and didn't tell me why you walked out of it. Like, you did not respect me. You tell me that we're good friends, but you just disappeared out of my life and are talking about me behind my back, but you didn't respect me enough to even come to tell me why you're walking out of my life. The quote was something like that. Mm-hmm. And it resonated with me because that's exactly what it is. It's like, you can have a problem with me. You don't have to be friends with me, but don't fucking talk about me behind my back unless you actually confronted me and talked to me about it and said, hey, you hurt me, or it disappointed me that you didn't do this or do that or whatever.
And you know, the funny thing is that, and Ellen knows this, I actually really don't even care that you talked behind my back. Like, I don't, anybody who knows me, if you're talking, mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I'm not even invested in that. I just feel sad, but that's more of a reflection of you than it is of me.
Exactly.
And I'm secure enough in my person. If I've wronged you, please let me know. Cause I may not even know, or we could discuss it, or, you know, I've learned to be more humble to accept things like that. And,
I don't care about people that I don't know very well, or I have a very, you know, just superficial,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I hear a rumor that somebody said something to me, the first thing I think was, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to do that. Or what did I do? I didn't mean to do that. But if it's somebody that I know very well, it upsets me, because we're supposed to be friends,
right.
And we're supposed to be transparent. We're supposed to be real with each other. And for you to not even address it with me before all these people come up and say, you know, well, so-and-so said this about you, or so-and-so, you know, I'm like, I cannot stand that.
Yeah.
It's a cop out. And you know, you can be non-confrontational. Some people
you know,
are non-confrontational.
There's got to be a common theme with it, with the bullying, how that drives you nuts. It's got to be something about the cowardness in it, or something.
It is.
Cowardice
because
in it,
I'm
something.
Like the, I'm.
Because you have the same
I'm
kind
a
of
very
reaction.
Nurturing person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like that person who always wants everybody to feel good. I feel good and be happy. Like, we moved our offices and in our old office, I was on one floor and my entire team was on another floor. So I didn't have a whole lot of interaction with some of the new people. So now we're all on the same floor and I want them to get to know each other. I want them to be, so I'm like that nurturing person. And when somebody is unkind or mean to somebody else, and it drives me crazy. And then especially if you don't stick up for us. No, you know, not everybody gets along. And
right.
There's some history. But because I'm just a no-nonsense person, like, if there's so many things in life I feel that could just be solved if you just have a conversation.
Right.
Instead of
a post.
So I'm going to tell you a story really quick. This is going to really quickly before Brian tells us our time. I have a neighbor that lives two doors down from me. Their daughter, Sophia, is my goddaughter. Okay. And the couple, the husband is very, extroverted. The wife is very introverted. He's very extroverted. He's very, abrasive personality. So, and we're similar in personality. We you know, if I have an issue, I'm going to talk to you. He has an issue. So a couple of years ago, something happened, and I won't divulge what it is because for privacy's sake, for her sake. And I was not going to have anything to do with him. And I eventually, we're neighbors. She's my goddaughter. But he confronted me about it. And you have to talk to me. I get that. I've forgiven you, but don't tell me how quickly I'm supposed to like be. So anyway, so that incident hit the wife thought I went around and told everybody about this incident when I did not for a whole fucking year, She was very distant with me whenever we talked. She was very distant. She was very quiet. I just assumed it was because of the thing that had happened between their family. And then one day I get this phone call out of the blue because I think Sophia had come down to our house and I was texting saying, hey, Sophia's down in the house. And then he said, hey, listen, can I come by and talk to you tonight? I was like, sure. And in the meantime, over this year, our relationship got to be to a point where it was fine. You know, it wasn't like it used to, but it was fine. He comes down and tells me that his wife has been pissed at me for a whole year and that I did something that I did not do and that I needed to apologize and all this. And I was like, wait a second. You mean for a whole year?
Look at that time wasted.
She did not even come to me and say, I heard you did this. When we could have resolved it like immediately for a whole fucking year, she hated me.
And here's the thing too. It's like what we're talking about. You're still holding on to it, right? You could say you've flushed those people out of your life, but if you're walking around with anger, who are you hurting?
Yeah. Like she,
because you didn't know. You're like, oh,
I had no idea.
I
actually thought it was something else.
Yes.
I thought it was something else. And then for him to come down there a whole year. Uh-huh. And all she had to do was just come down and say, hey, listen, I heard this. It hurts me. I could have said, girlfriend, that was not me. I promise you that was not me.
But that takes vulnerability because then you have to own that something bothered you or that.
Oh, yeah. That kind of stuff. And so just time wasted, friendship just crumbled.
Like what experiences may have happened in that year had the conversation happened? I mean, you really lose. So what would. So I guess I kind of challenge the listeners and I challenge myself. I'm really going to think hard about what I post on social media and what the message is. Because some of them are like, oh, that's badass. I want to post that, you know, getting rid of the whatever. I'm going to think hard about that because am I saying that because there's an undertone of fear? Am I sinking away from vulnerability to open myself up to really solution? Am I taking the easy way out before I just go ahead and make those statements? Because there could be an even greater connection on the other side of having that conversation.
Well, I think when you tend to post a certain theme on social media, especially, or I mean, it could be any within your friends, something that you talk about constantly. When you tend to post a certain theme of something, there's something going on in there. So if you're sitting there going, if every other 3 days your posts are, you know, five quotes of
people aren't authentic
and get rid of the people who don't support you and don't encourage you and who bring you down and, you know, your star is going to shine no matter what anybody's. There's something going on there. Either you're trying to tell some people that you think give a shit something, or
in
you're
a passive aggressive way.
Yeah, you're trying to prove to yourself that you really don't give a shit, that you really don't care, that you've really gotten rid. And I know, I hope this doesn't make anybody mad, but you know how it is when you have that, because I've had this, I've had several friends in my life, several guy friends in my life who were gay and did not come out as gay, but you know, kind of knew, you kind of got that vibe, but they constantly talked about the women that they had sex with. So there's that thing like, okay, are you trying to convince yourself or other people, you throwing them off the scent or whatever it is? Just be who you are. It doesn't matter. Just be who you are, you know?
Yep.
You don't have to talk a big storm. The more you talk about something, it's like when you lie to your friend when she invites you somewhere, but you really want to go out with your boyfriend, and then you lie to your friend, but you embellish this whole big story.
Yes. The more like, details, yeah. The bigger. Yes.
It's like, just say it.
Yeah.
Who cares? Just say it.
Yeah.
And so you see those, you know, you see those people who are really having the issue.
Let me tell you what, if you need a community of people who will not have judgment about your issue, we got one for you. Bring us your damn issue. Come and join Anissa Ellen Raw because you'll
mean,
be built up.
Yeah,
it is community. I mean, and we love you how you are. You don't got to hide.
And it doesn't, I mean, we're a positive community. We are motivational and inspirational, but we also are realistic and practical. Mm-hmm. And not, life is not all a bowl of cherries, and it's not seen through rose colored glasses. So, you know, and I will put this out to the group too. You know, we're really trying to get the folks in our group to just participate, to just like make some comments, to post, to do whatever. And I know there are some people in there that are that's just not them.
Sure.
And maybe they're not comfortable. But that's why we have the group, and that's why it's private, so that you can post whatever it is that you want in there. Nobody's gonna, you know, and if you fucking call somebody out in the group, I will fucking block you from the group.
Bye-bye, Felicia.
I mean, this is... Bye, Felicia. It's... That's why we have it.
Right.
So if you want to go in there and tell us that, you know, your husband wears women's underwear when you're having sex, well, that's totally up to you all.
And we'll have, you know, Christina give you a nice comment.
I mean, it doesn't matter to us. It really doesn't matter to us. It's just about having a safe space to, like, be who you are. I mean, it's not a safe space to come in and tell us all your kinky shit. All right. Now, if that's who you really are.
You can't vomit your life and walk away. It always has to be under the guise of seeking out some type of... I don't even say you have to have a solution, because sometimes there's not a solution, but you're open to opportunities for there to be wisdom in the group that will come your way. So it's not just, we don't just sit around and have bitch sessions.
No. And if it is an opportunity to have somebody say, oh my gosh, I do that too. Or, oh my gosh, I thought that too. Or I went through that too.
Yep.
So that's what it is.
Awesome.
Definitely. You feel better?
You know what? I feel like... Yes.
Anissa's boobs are hanging out.
Oh, they.
Brian, do you see her boobs hanging out?
No, I just put them away.
She's got her. She's got. And then Brian's fiance just walked in.
Oh, my gosh. Right during that. Oh.
But I feel pretty good.
I do. So just, I don't know, maybe we can just quash the toxic word for a while.
Or you all
maybe
just.
Maybe we just open up and say, if you're hurting, open up.
Here's what I'm going to try to encourage everybody to do. You only live once. I know that whole YOLO thing. You literally only live once. Life is really short. And so make peace with everything in your life, whether it's deciding that somebody that you don't want that person in your life, but just make peace with it. Posting stuff, talking to other people behind somebody's back, trying to get somebody to agree with you and say, oh my gosh, I think that about her too. Like, just hash it out. Just talk about
it. Or let it go.
Or let it go. And just have some peace around it. Move on.
Yes.
Like, just, you know, it's just so much energy.
There's got to be like a Bob Marley song about that or something. I don't know.
Three Little Birds.
Yes. All right. We're good. Where to find us.
I know.
Is that what, just what we want to say? Yes. ATL Podcast Network.
Atlanta Podcast Network.
Anissa Ellen Raw.
It's Anissa Ellen Raw. on Facebook and Anessa Ellen Raw Real Authentic Women. That's the private group. Of course, Anessa Amison and Ellen Nickel on Instagram. And as well, the Atlanta Podcast is also on Instagram as well. Yes. You got to hook Brian's awesome and all his posts. And he's got some awesome podcasts, too, that you guys could listen to.
And even guys though and this girls. Will air after the big day, happy birthday, Ellen. Oh. It's coming. I won't see you this weekend. You're going to have your birthday. And
yes.
Yes.
I will be 51.
I love it.
Woo, woo. Yeah.
You're looking good, mama.
I feel good. You're so Anessa healthy. Did some Reiki energy healing on me, and I've actually done really well since she did that, believe it or not.
Yeah. So
I bawled too.
Well,
I know. She's awesome. She did it on Brian too.
But only just a smidge.
I know. Just All a right. smidge. I love you.
I love you too, mama.
Talk to you soon.
I know.
Bye.